Inspector?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
How much do you prefer?
You want to try
to
speak with me?
No.
Okay, you should listen to me.
Is it seated?
Please let the next man.
3 minutes from the last man?
Not yet. We have that amigo.
Okay. Okay. So. Yeah.
That's the second people.
Okay. For number one, motion. Resolution 109, setting a public hearing.
You want to move one for discussion and then start discussing?
Yeah, I want to move one.
Can we just
move both and discussing?
I can't do anything, but...
Can both
and discuss them
at the same time?
Can I say? Let's just move the one. We're going to discuss. I'll move resolution 9 for discussion.
Second.
109.
Second. Okay.
What are we
going to
be doing?
In theory, but... technically speaking, although actually this is a special meeting to discuss briefly policy to begin with, but...
that would be more loose than...
but they'll leave it up to the committee. What's the committee want to talk? You want me to just...
Thankfully, committee is very loose enough where I think you have discussed briefly to make both resolutions.
Yeah, right. So,
I pretty much said that the couple of things that were most important to me, Tracy and I have sat down and talked about, some of the issues and some of the places that we could find some agreement and some of the places where we wouldn't necessarily find agreement, and you want to start going through those?
Apparently we have ourselves a nifty little sheet here that actually can go and actually talk about some of each of them.
We could.
And I guess I'll let doing certain things.
I did not say that they were not capable of their legislative Rodriguez.
My return comments are that it was my understanding that the goal was to merge them into one document and or to one law, and that was what was
certainly not you. Kettle and left. So the point is that I want to thank our legislative staff for producing this document, which I believe was probably not part of what many legislators.
Apparently I was just mistaken, but Rodriguez, allow me to apologize for my mistake.
Okay, let's move on.
I think it's a great thing that the committee is looking at green fleet policy. I think, I know that over the last many years since we've had the charter, the county makes them a lot of work to kind of, change the way we do fleet purchases. I mean, we have a fleet manager. I mean, fleet alone, we're going to do stuff in million. He does a terrific job over DPW and this, that. And there's an amazing coordination that happens between the fleet manager and our coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a lot of things now that I think are really cutting edge and thoughtful. Look to reduce our footprint to our carbon emissions. And I think that, kind of put a policy in place for eternity to kind of codify that. I think it's a really good thing. And I think we need a lot of expertise from the department that we can help the children bring to the table. It seems like the sticking points are things, we've kind of taken a hard line with regard to, we've been kind of emphasizing, what feels like they're just saying to the department.
Yep.
And as far as the mission, I know there was some, debate about, we have brought the legislature a resolution that authorized the administration to apply federal funds and purchase a diesel bus. And it's like, oh my God, diesel. But when you really, look at what that was, first of all, it's a cutaway bus replacing a 30-foot bus, which had a huge impact on you, a positive impact on you. And also, stuff here, but the diesel buses today are much different than the more engine diesel buses you might see, and that just by their nature, they use dramatically less emissions. So it's absolutely the correct vehicle to purchase for a county our size with huge rural links. And if you've noticed the changes, I mean, back in the day, you know, we buy these huge buses. In fact, we have six hybrid very large buses. They're not very good. I guess if we don't, we have a lot of problems with them. Because we're operating them in this large rural county, they're really designed for more of a metropolitan environment, for an inner city type of environment, the way those buses are. And we find that, you know, with the purchase that we're making today, we're doing a much better job of reducing emissions. So just having something that is, an alternative energy doesn't necessarily have the biggest impact. You know, and even with the everything that we do, and you know, we are beginning to experiment with alternate fuels. You know, obviously, our biggest focus is on let's reduce consumption, let's reduce the amount of energy that we use, especially in terms of the environment. And then we're starting to experiment. For example, this year our intention is to purchase hybrid plug-in electric sedans. We have a very old fleet, Tim will tell you. I mean, we didn't purchase vehicles for a very, very long time. You'll see vehicles in our fleet that are getting a very terrible, really 4 miles per gallon. We're trying to get maximize it. And one of the things that Kim does, and she'll speak for something, she really looks at the function of what the vehicle is. Like, just because someone wants the, large Chevy Tahoe, that's not what we do. We look and see, what they're doing. It's appropriate for them to have a 4-cylinder sedan. And that's what we've been purchasing. We're trying to impact the environment that way. But again, we've been exploring plug-in hybrid electric, and we recently are implementing right now looking at our diesel bus fleet and going with biodiesel, just because it was something really easy to do. The cost was minimal, and it has a huge impact on the environment. So that's kind of where those are the areas we've been looking at alternative fuels and trying to have an impact. I know a lot of debate is kind of about these sheriff's vans. And the memo about how they should get these here, both of her kids are very ill. And she called me because she started to feel ill.
For the purposes of this discussion, I think we should just stay away from things that have either passed or vetoed. But that's not what the discussion is going to be about.
But I think that, really from a. I think the committee should know that a lot of work has been done. We look to manage our fleet in a way that gives us the biggest environmental impact. For the dollars that we spend. We think we have a pretty good process in place. So we'd love to work with you to codify that into a policy that will, last beyond this administration and be there for generations. And we're committed to do that. And I hope, at the end of the day, we can all reach an agreement and do something really positive for the county, good for the county taxpayers, and also very, very good for the environment. At least that's our goal, and that's why we're here at the meeting, to help participate and make that happen.
All right, thank you, Ken. Tracy, you want to ask something? Do you want anything? You want to start this discussion, or we want to know? How do you want to do this?
I'm not sure the best way to approach it. We could use this comparison as a guideline. When Ken and I sat down together, we kind of had both the policy and the law side by side, and we're going through where we saw the differences and where there were similarities and where. Where she spoke at the last meeting more to his I don't know what the word would be, not deal breaker, but the things that Ken was
keeping. The most important things to me, and then the most, important thing for
right.
you.
So, and those things weren't necessarily at odds.
Not for the most part.
There are one or two points that I think that the committee, you know, we need to kind of go through. I don't know how else to do it. Do you want to go point by point? I mean, sure, yeah, I'm fine with that. But even before we get to that, though, I mean, basically, in the areas that you guys agree are you, I mean, obviously the goal is to get to one document, right? I mean, that is the goal. But even if that becomes not attainable for whatever reasons, and I'm not trying to say that we won't get to an agreement, but is there any willingness at this point to basically amend your mutual resolution, in this case law, to basically reflect the areas of agreement.
Absolutely.
That way.
I know if we come. I mean, we may very well come to an impasse. That's something in a compromise setting that's always a possibility that you reach an impasse that you just can't get beyond. But I mean, and I know that one of Tracy's, if I could just be so bold to say one of the most important things to you was that's not in the law, is that there be a delineated idling policy. The law that I had brought forward and our caucus had brought forward just said that there shall be an idling policy, that a vehicle cannot idle longer than, that a vehicle cannot idle longer than. And that yours has specifically stated,
and that pertains to county vehicles, not publicly owned vehicles.
And I mean, we're in our conversation where we came to was if something Kim is going to be able to speak to, if what's in the policy to differentiate the two. If what's in the policy isn't something that's attainable or reasonable for all vehicles, then Kim would let us know and we would put in whatever administration told us made sense. I mentioned that I'd spoken to Kim and Amanda before, but that we would run it by, but there's, using that as an example, there was, in our conversations, there was nothing coming back from Kim that was saying, well, there's no reason to not put it right in.
Right. Yeah,
I'm just my own edification now. And again, I'm going to readily admit I did not delve into this as well as I would have liked to, but LPG vehicles, right, propane cars.
And CNG.
I mean, is that something that is suddenly now a goal? For us,
I mean, I can tell you that, I think that the administration's been pretty clear that that's not part of their plan at the moment. But when you're writing a local law, you write it for now and the future and all potential contingencies. What happens if 10 years down the road or 5 years down the road under a new administration, the sky falls and all fracking nationwide is banned, and then propane and CNG are no longer coming from fracking at that point. So it's important. It's important to me. I would like to leave it as an option. Trace and I talked about taking it out of the green fleet, green vehicle definition. I'm fine with that and creating a new definition of an alternative fuel vehicle.
I just also think that in the instance, let's go down that, let's use that scenario of 5 years on the road and fracking has been banned, at that point, you can always amend the law to basically go and include those vehicles. I mean, there's nothing that stops us at any point from ever amending, whether we go with a local law or a policy. There's nothing that stops this legislative body from ever changing it.
And there's nothing in the law for the policy that would require the county executive and the administration to use it. So, again, your argument about, I understand your argument, but I also understand that there's nothing that, they've made it abundantly clear they're not going to. So.
But this administration's here, today, are they here tomorrow? And that certainly is a concern for my constituency and I think for others. So.
As an officer of the county, I totally appreciate that, but I would think as an environmental committee, you'd want to make a statement that if an administration, whether it be the current one or a future one, would want to explore renewable energy as an option for our fleet and not fossil fuel, non-renewable energy for our fleet.
Mr. Chairman, I respect Deputy Executive Fidel's point of view, but again, if we're going to be talking about policy issues at the table, I think we should be talking about them with the legislators who create policy, not the...
And I have a problem with that, but that doesn't include him at least giving us information.
But I don't think that that was information. I think that was a statement about the policy that this environmental committee should make. That was, he just said, I would think that an environmental committee would want to, and then laid out what his point of view was. But that's a policy discussion that I think should happen with the legislation.
Well, if we're making policy, I'd like to think that we would like to listen to the administration as well. I mean, it's just an opinion, but you're right. We don't have to do it. if he's giving up, it doesn't stop us from listening to what somebody has to say.
But he's here to give us information on behalf of the administration about the operations of county government, not about the policy. Again, the county executive talks to me very often about the difference between policy and operations, and I think that that's, you know, he feels that we delve too far into operations sometimes. I feel like they delve too far into policy sometimes.
I don't mean to be rude or anything, but the meeting is going to last 10 hours.
So in my conversation, we definitely touched on this because in my concern in terms of the local law, where I felt I had issues was using the definition of alternative fuel, using the U.S. Department of Energy definition, and then two, including that defined vehicle in green vehicles, because for me, I want to, as the policy reflects, I want to prioritize. I mean, it's a green fleet policy, so from my perspective, that needs to be renewable from renewable sources, and that's why the policy prioritizes. Electric, hybrid, and then sustainable alternative fuels is something that Nana and I worked to tweak. So when Ken and I were talking about it, we talked about, one, removing the definition section altogether. We talked about, we talked about that. Yep. We talked about removing the language purchase vehicles that run alternative fuels as one of the goals. There was a back and forth, and your concern is that I articulated, because they're where I'm coming at it from as well, in terms of setting a policy with green goals. That was kind of my...
Sorry, at the risk, again, I'm not trying to look backwards, but we clearly just had a discussion.
You are trying to look backwards.
No,
that's okay. No,
because... here it is. It's now coming up again in a different format. That's what I'm going to talk about.
Well, yes and no.
No. I'm not saying it in a two-story way. But the issue is now sort of popping back up again, because now all of a sudden, within that, again, how you define that, now all of a sudden...
with the industry sycophants, the U.S. Department of Energy.
Well, sometimes. so, anyway... that said, you know, that's going to be a sticking point, I think, for several people. And I don't want to basically then, at that point, go back down the same road. Again, at the
time,
I wasn't trying to basically bring back up the past, but the past does become prologue at times. I don't want them to go back down the road and then basically lose something that could be valuable because of a sticking point.
Well, and again, you know, like I said, the one thing that I've said, and maybe I'll be more... after I speak with my caucus after this meeting, maybe we would be willing to take it out. Maybe we wouldn't. I don't know, the alternative fuel out. Maybe we wouldn't. I couldn't tell you right off the bat because I have to speak, you know, I don't just represent myself. I represent, you know, all of the people who have signed their names for this. But we are willing to take it out of the definition of a green vehicle. And I know that was one of the things that was one of the bigger sticking points for Tracy. One of the more important things is to take it out of there and not have it be defined as a green vehicle. So I'd be willing to do that right now if that's okay.
So the taking out also includes
not the first definition. It would take it out of the green vehicle in the definition number two.
But by doing that, again, this is where but it's still going to listen, obviously, because of that heading. It's still going to listen in alternative fuel vehicles.
Depending on where.
While I understand your willingness to give on that point, it may still, of course, it'll be the same impact.
And like I said at the beginning, there may be an impact, but I'm always willing to try it.
Alright.
Well, we are on definition.
Okay.
I don't understand light duty, medium duty, and heavy duty vehicles.
how does that, where do buses and heavy equipment that use fossil fuel currently, where do they fit?
For the most part, Tim, you can correct me on this, would they be in the medium duty and heavy duty? And for the most part, I think in the heavy duty.
Yeah, most of it would be heavy duty. The majority of it.
And Peterson?
Yes, go ahead.
But now, and that language, and this is something, that language, the definition in terms of the passenger light,
yeah,
medium and heavy duty, that all came from the Dobbs Ferry, directly from the Dobbs Ferry Climate Smart template.
Yes.
The reason I took it out from the policy is I didn't see what it added to the, you know, it's just, I know this is,
right,
we talked about
okay.
it. I felt like, okay, I don't know that we need to define it because it's the way I didn't use it again in the policy, didn't refer to it, and even in the law, I mean, it comes up.
In the law, it comes up when you talk about a passenger vehicle could be substituted for a medium light or heavy duty.
Where and where does that update?
Section.
Well, the number of vehicles that in terms of the inventory,
yes,
the rated class weight there, just referred to what, you know.
Yep.
And then talks about vehicle weight class number 3 under section 6 policy strategy beginning in 2018, ensure the minimum 2% green vehicle purchase to quantify another vehicle weight class of 8.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we didn't have that, anything like that in the policy. I just got the definitions all together because I just did it for cleanness. And Ken and I, when we went through this, we talked about the possibility of losing the definition section altogether again. We talked about the possibility of removing what Ken already spoke to, alternative fuel vehicles from green vehicles. We talked about the possibility of losing the alternative fuel vehicle definition, but more we spoke to about losing the definitions altogether.
I mean, I'm not necessarily in favor or opposed of losing definitions. I mean, it's not my biggest thing if it troubles everybody, but normally when you do a local law, it includes a definition section as you go through it. Sometimes I can't understand that, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
At least the way that this is structured, right, I mean, the way that it's structured, yes, clearly you need those definitions so far as what you need. Because you go through and then instead of having to, you know, just for clarity, definition sections are usually just for clarity, so there's no confusing what you mean by a green vehicle or what you mean by a light vehicle.
Because you need that reference to it all throughout the clarity, so it becomes, you know. But that may also just be you need to just, you know, by the way, this is the exciting portion of the conversation.
That's right.
You know, how you structure a law, and, you know, in this case, this one you put a lot of bricks in. Sometimes you don't need to make bricks. Sometimes you use a lot of columns. Together there.
Fair enough.
So.
But again, and this was from previous. I mean, we were using the Climate Smart Communities, Mid Hudson Region, Green Fleet Guidance document from Dobbs Ferry. Well, if you see,
we used a lot of that. We used a lot of the
same language because I passed out tons of documents, and we finally kind of dialed down to this one, Minneapolis, a couple others, but the Dobbs Ferry one in the definitions, I mean, some of them are identical to what Ken took in terms of passenger, light, medium, and heavy, but then what was left out was the zero emission, super ultra low emission, no emission, electric drive train, but Dobbs Ferry does have the alternative fuel definition, and then another bi-fuel definition, one of which is an alternative fuel. So, so there's some of, you know what I mean, there's something knowing where some of this came from. I think, again, if we can keep an open mind about how we can get to something both that we can agree with, that can pass, and that can then be
piece of thing that's signed, ideally. So,
that's the goal.
Living in a reality.
That's the goal. I wholeheartedly believe. I wholeheartedly believe that I had the 12 votes in the legislature I was needed just to pass it as it was. But that's not the goal.
Right. And so, it might not end. I mean,
it would probably be vetoed.
Right.
And
so we'd be
then that's not the
cycle.
Let's
get somewhere. And you know, I think.
Well, when you have competing, but you have different viewpoints. Okay. That's partly why. So a lot of people come to the table, the nation table, but the thing is,
a lot of tables.
Okay, so let me ask this. So now, are you going to remove the alternate fuel, or is it part of the definition or not?
Not at this time.
But
possibly moving forward.
Yeah, let's see where we're at.
I would like to try and find the things that we can agree on first and then move to the things that we may not be able to agree on.
I think that's smart because especially if we take the alternative fuels out of the definition of a green vehicle, if we're not calling alternative fuels green, it then depends on what the policy or law is saying about what we're doing with green vehicles.
Yep.
We could define anything. We could define, you know, else.
Let's move on, and I was going to say, at the risk of delving off on a conversation about elves, I couldn't think of something. No, it's okay. I'm geeky enough, I could actually have it. That said, though, why don't you actually want to go back to the original point you made? I want to at least personally just have that discussion with regards to that, because it was, for me, at least the most important vote. On top of that, it's in the front end because of the definition. But why don't you then go back to your earlier point, going bit by bit of the areas where there
you're in agreement.
In agreement,
yeah,
and
then we'll go back to the ones that we're not in.
Yeah.
So,
Starting with the legislative intent, we were talking about, but I don't think we need to talk about it now. I'm fine with it. That was honestly, for the folks in the table, a salute to my good friend JJ, recovering up in Sullivan County, because JJ was the master of acronyms. If you'll notice, when JJ was with the county executive used more acronyms and more laborious acronyms such as STRIVE than often. He just ran like a 15K or something like that.
Doing great.
That's great.
Up and around.
Yeah.
I hope you don't think the quality of the work has changed.
No, it hasn't. But I do miss JJ. He was one of my favorite people to work with over there. So.
Okay, so leaving the title out, dealing with policy and legislative intent. One thing in looking at the policy, I mentioned that I wanted to get from Amanda and Tim to add in. I want to put in the energy costs, since we talk about energy costs, just in our basis for policy, say we spent X amount on fuel in 2014, 2013, whatever, just to say, and therefore, blah, blah, blah.
So there's your base.
Yeah, you
I mean, I think one of the good things we have right now is just some of the upgrades we've made in the fleet and with track vehicles. We now can tell you every vehicle, how much gas it burns, how much diesel it burns, what we're getting miles per gallon. So we have a really good ability to track that now on a lot of fleet vehicles. So
how many vehicles do we have AVLs on?
Highway Department,
county vehicle for itself, if it's
possible.
Okay.
So that was something, just to, again, as background in this intent, I thought it would add, so we agreed on that. When you look at the local law, legislative intent and purpose, fourth paragraph down, a green fleet policy involves a number of different steps. We realize that some of that is in the policy in other places.
Yeah.
We talked about moving that section minus F and H, deleting F and H, and moving that, because that is the most controversy, over to the basis for the policy.
I don't think it's certainly a conflict with the charter, the county executive, how he can manage the operation of the county. So kind of what we envision is, you know, this county executive chooses the the Department of the Environment and the fleet manager as the central repository and kind of the coordinator of all things. Sonora County is able to get it, but, you know, it'd be better for you to set, you know, kind of the goals. You know, this is kind of the report you want, this is the history you want to report, this is how we're going to benchmark whether you're being successful in implementing the policy or not. I don't think we're listing who does what or who doesn't. It doesn't, again, it's going
to... What says who does what?
You know, just kind of looking at, you know, the kind of different bullet point numbers and...
I don't know where you're talking from.
You jump in the page five.
He's on to the Green Fleet Review Committee.
Tracy, can I reiterate what you just said?
You're going to argue with me. Argue with me.
Steps for the Green Fleet Policy,
A through H except for F and H. So they're really A, B, C, D, E, and G.
You're talking in the legislative intent you're looking at, right?
Yes.
And you're moving that here in the policy?
Over to the basis for the policy. And we might need to, you know...
Well...
We might need to put the...
I guess at this point,
This is going to involve some massaging anyway.
Yeah, it's going to depend on whether you end up with a local law or policy. If we end up with a local law at the end, it's going to be in the legislative intent
Either way, but just the rest of the basis for the policy, we were happy with.
We were happy with, and we were going to add that to it, and then that.
Where it ends up. Well, right now, F is in the D, and so is H.
Yeah, catch up, Ken.
F and H would be just taken out. Doesn't mean they won't be addressed.
No,
they're
just not
talking
in the
out on that basis. Yeah. Get it. If I thought it was good at the head to talk about the downsizing, the optimization, these things are kind of straightforward things that are in all template policies.
And they're part of the whole intent behind
the policy.
Exactly. I think these are all things that we're doing. Also, too, I know that we're working on, just to throw a thought out there, also some informational sessions for the employees and trainings. There's some big things people can do. You know, if you're driving a county vehicle, there are ways that we prefer that you drive them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great.
And again, it's wonderful that you guys are doing that, but you're not going to, you know, unfortunately, Mike's not going to be the county executive forever, so we try to make a policy for
We talk about the employee education.
There's employee education and everything like that in the writing of the policy.
Yeah.
And both in Tracy's policy and in the local law. Driver education and...
Were there
weren't any more problems with what I had in the legislative intent and purpose? Was there, or were we replacing
the
language outside of those with...
It wasn't because there's a problem. We just felt like this was smoother language, which way it went. Okay, and then definitions, like we said before, the policy doesn't have definitions, the law definition. I felt it was critical. I mean, it's a typo, ABS instead of AFBs in terms of alternative fuel vehicles, but I felt it was critical to remove alternative fuel vehicles from a green vehicle definition.
Can
I suggest that there should be definitions if they are in the rest of the document.
Yeah.
If they're not necessary unless there's some reason to leave it because it'll be easier in the future if that document is amended or something like that.
And we agree on that, and all the definitions are later on in the local law as it sits now.
And the only thing that I'm going to say is, I mean, that's fine, but obviously we're going to debate some of those definitions.
I'm sure.
But... just also realize what you gain in quote unquote clarity, you also lose in flexibility. So
I agree.
So while local law, I'm not going to be flexible. Not always. Not always. But I'm just saying that's the one thing, man. Just in terms of your comments, is that while I understand everything you're saying, is that's why when I made my earlier comment, it was an allusion to the fact that.
Yeah.
You've got the thing structured in a certain way, and I get that. Like, that's how you thought of it, and that's how you wanted to kind of go about it. But just realize you're then at that point losing some of that
I totally understand. And one of the reasons, if I can just drop, one of the reasons for that is because I don't want, I wasn't drafting this with the thought that there'd be a lot of flexibility. As my good friend Landon used to say, that's the sort of thing that could lead a person in a black robe to have to decide what something means, and I'd rather leave the least amount of possibility of that as possible.
I could have called him
Lyndon. Lyndon Langston? Langston.
So, to just get back to the green vehicle definition, in the policy, looking to, just for an example, Ulster County, let's see, where are we? If you look at policy fleet initiative, just for jumping ahead for a second so we can deal with any different point, 4, if you look the end of 4B, it might be earlier, but that's page on top. Additionally, Ulster County is committed to using hybrid, and sustainable alternative fuel vehicles. So that language would need to be in the green vehicle.
Well, here's a
sustainable.
Sustainable alternative fuels. That's something where I believe that would be a benefit to have a definition of it, because biodiesel. What percentage are the biodiesel buses that we're going to have? What percentage of that is biodiesel from this current
5%?
5%.
Right.
And that's, at what level of is it still the old way. If you put B-20 in it, you will
go to the number of gas. Exactly.
But the newer end of the fleet can only handle B-20.
Right.
The goal is you're going to need
that you can get a new and safely new.
But I agree, if you're going to use the term sustainable alternative fuels.
Sustainable, the one term is not.
We're talking about.
Yeah.
So that they're not doing something that we didn't intend.
That basically gets
it takes away flexibility.
No, it's not that. Okay, but if we're going down, I'm assuming this point where admittedly right now making that assumption, so I'm just dealing with the local law, because that's what we're assuming you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
But first, you're then going to have sustainable alternative fuel and alternative fuel?
No, alternative fuel is out.
I'm just throwing it out there.
No,
I didn't say that. But that if alternative fuel is in there, or if you sustainable alternative fuel built vehicles right here, like most of, I think, are a car, though. Wait,
I believe that if you went to the ASDC.energy.gov, biodiesel would be included as an alternative fuel.
Yes, but in this one, we're actually going for the identifying it as sustainable.
Well, and also we have to differentiate, because that was something Nana caught in my first draft, we have hybrid electric and hybrid differentiating, because you have hybrids that are, like Nana drives a hybrid electric Prius, I drive a hybrid Prius.
To be hybrid electric, it has to have a plug-in feature. Is that okay?
Yeah, and it's not all electric, so it's not an electric.
Correct.
So I don't know if we would need to put definitions of all those, or include those in green, or only put a definition for sustainable alternative fuel. That's something we have to determine.
I know one comment Amanda had on Sir Scooby here was that also the technology is changing so rapidly.
Agreed.
So we've got to make sure that anything that we do. Is thoughtful about what's going to happen tomorrow and
That's
right. Which is why the beauty of the green vehicle definition that says refers to any vehicle that employs technology and reduces fuel consumption or emissions and shall include, but is not limited to, these vehicles. So any vehicle moving forward, fuel cell vehicles, hydrogen-powered vehicles, would be, in my opinion, included in that because they do those things.
I think if you just add hybrid electric and hybrid vehicles and take out for now, we've already taken out the alternative fuels. Then you've got your green vehicle, and then to go back up to sustainable.
Are we leaving low emission vehicles as a green vehicle definition? Because we're not defining low emission vehicles.
I could take it out. I could take it out. It's not bothering me. If that's the end of this one.
Show me where.
And right after alternative fuel vehicles, it says and low emission.
You were right. Oh, I already did that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, then. I'm fine with removing that.
Remove that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be really easy. I'll have it
then. So, and you're saying, Manny, you're saying vehicles that have electric drive trains, EVs, hybrid
electric,
and that one hybrid vehicles that use both a rechargeable energy source system and combustible fuel is hybrid electric, right?
No, the rechargeable energy system would be, yeah, would, yours would be included in that because as you hit the brake, it charges the battery.
Yeah, no, you need to add in hybrid electric and...
It's not 100% necessary because it says it's not limited to, but I would be fine with adding in hybrid electric.
Hybrid vehicles that use.
Okay.
Hybrid vehicles with a plug-in feature.
And what about sustainable hybrid electric?
That's fine.
Yeah. Because we talk about sustainable alternative fuel vehicles in the policy, do we put that in the green vehicle definition as well?
Well, here's going to be 5 minutes for your vote. Should it, at that point, though, what I was asking for me is that if it's either added or substituting.
No, I mean, it's critical, but the point is if it's a green vehicle policy and where, and I mean, I would say if this policy, as differentiated from the law, is saying we're prioritizing these vehicles as green, this policy is saying sustainable alternative fuel vehicles are green, so they have to be in the green vehicle definition.
Yes, but considering we don't yet have agreement on the first point, I'm just saying that.
What's the first point?
What's sustainable green?
Well,
I mean, what's sustainable alternative fuel?
Sure.
I mean,
but then it's like, if we don't define it as green, then this policy ends up...
I'm not comfortable with it until we decide what it is.
But that's necessarily because here's the thing. If you're using a biofuel, let's just use that, you know, as the example, right?
Okay.
Technically speaking, those diesels are, the newer diesels are technically considered conventional. You can run it on regular diesel or you can run it on a blended fuel. Right, I agree. But the vehicle itself is not necessarily.
But if we're not going to include the alternative fuel vehicles as a green vehicle because it burns fossil fuels,
sure.
The buses that are running on B5 are going to be 95% fossil fuel. Is that sustainable? Is that a sustainable vehicle? I don't think it's. You know, to me, it's not a potato. If you're using even the B20, you're still using 80% fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that a green vehicle? I don't know. Not if.
And you might, and I'm sure someone that you want to table will want to make the argument that it's not a green vehicle.
Maybe.
You know, that you're still producing you know enough NOx and SOx and you know it's not acceptable.
Let's leave out the sustainable alternative fuel vehicle, both the definition and let's leave it out of the green vehicle temporarily.
We'll put a note next to it.
And make a note that we still are not in agreement about the alternative fuel definition, but we're leaving it for now. Not so much the definition, but the fact that the definition is there, but we're leaving it for now to see where it comes up again in the election. So temporary. Okay, so now we're into fleet.
But is there light duty trucks now?
No, those seem to be straightforward.
I feel like
those are not. My own definition, passenger, light, medium, heavy, are they straightforward definitions? That's straight from Dobbs Ferry, green fleet.
If you have anything to them, I'd be happy to help you with it.
Do they actually accurately reflect categories of our fleet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So now on to inventory.
Which you have as two and he has four.
Okay. So we talked about this a bit. So you notice that this inventory shall include in both is the same up to 10, I, and J is not included. 1 through 8 is there, and then the policy doesn't have I and J. Right, my instinct was to add that to make that 9 and 10 previous. We talked about the language at the start of the fleet inventory in the law, the fact that because we have a fleet manager, Kim's already done this. Yep. The department head doesn't have to undertake analysis. So we deferred, stop me if I'm wrong, to the policies language, but adding I and J as 9 and 10,
and this is actually just good for our audience as well, because you guys are looking at this. But I and J in 10's local law says estimated emissions per mile for each pollutant by vehicle type class based on EPA traffic, cell type standards for the modeling in the carbon monoxide, nitrogen oxide, particulate matter, and J is carbon dioxide CO2 calculations based on gallons or gallon equivalent of fuel consumed. So we're talking about pollutants. My question to you then is,
yes, sir.
Who's doing this calculation?
Well, I know that's the way it's written. Is your each department head doing it?
Yeah. Well, we talked about that. I'm fine with it. I just throw a suggestion out there. You know, nothing is helping.
Goodness, no.
You know, the Department of the Environment. And quite frankly, I don't know that each department or would have the expertise needed to do some of these calculations.
I would be fine with Tracy's language was the fleet manager in conjunction with the director, coordinator of the Department of the Environment.
A future county executive may choose not to have a fleet manager, but we're going to have a Department of the Environment.
That's, a future, you never know.
I agree with you. I would have to weigh in whether we had Department of the Environment or not. If he's thought about it, we'll take Department of the Environment.
There are certain parts of the inventory that I wouldn't necessarily, I don't think, want the coordinator of the Department of the Environment to do. A lot of the inventory would be things that haven't done.
Let's just leave it, and I think let the people in the future deal with that. It's correct for now.
Yeah, I think it's fine. We're talking about keeping the policy language. In conjunction with the Department of the Environment, I'm doing it from policy. So policy stays the same. All the way to 8, add 9 and 10, which is I and J.
Yeah.
Add I and J. And then, I mean, I think we were keeping D the same, but we found it elsewhere in the law. So as we go through, we'll just have to attempt.
I just want to make sure that we're going to add that into the local law.
I think about in the local law, so you're adding in I and J into section two from the policy. I'm going to read all that, right? We talked about this. I'm just going back to this a little while ago. I think we're prepared to give the legislature a baseline report based upon this report. Yeah, maybe you want to have an initial report that will then become a baseline that you'll measure against every year. You could use 14 as a baseline. We talked about it a little bit.
Well, you're probably going to want 14.
This is a section that was, each one of them was verbatim, exactly the same. One through eight, they give it, and then...
Oh, that was the same. One through eight was identical, yeah.
Right, one through eight is identical, and then I and J, so we're just adding those two. Yeah.
And then the second part, the B part.
B, we'll leave aside for now, because I think that the reason that we had it
bracketed like that on Phase's copy is because it occurs.
I understand that, but then your version, who's doing the calculation? Right?
Well, you're not using this version
anymore.
For the moment, as we're going through.
No, I understand that, but I'm still asking Ted, when you put it on paper, when you put pen to paper, so to speak, right, to use a whole package. Right, when you did that, who is going to do that?
When you put fingers to keyboard.
I'm asking Ken what he was thinking when he was basically
the coordinator of the department.
This wasn't a sticking point.
Can I clarify something just only because I'm
the propane industry, yeah.
I'm sorry, if I can just clarify something because it sounds to me that this is a baseline of data, but that I'm also hearing that this is done annually and in the same language. So both in the fleet and the policy on fleet.
We didn't get to the reports yet.
I'm just fleet inventory.
Yeah.
You talked about a baseline of data, but I'm also hearing language at the table that this is an annual.
No.
Okay.
It's
but I just one to that.
It's a baseline to move forward with, and I would imagine that if you created this baseline that you would continue to update the baseline at that point.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
But
there's no requirement for annual reports.
Not yet.
Right.
There are annual reports later on. That'll be the next thing we argue about. Or discuss. I apologize. Discuss.
Okay. Let's stay focused. Okay, what's next?
I'm just throwing it out there. Should we set a drop dead time to stop the discussion and then come back another time? I'm just throwing it out there.
That's up to the committee. I'm good with whatever the committee
wants.
A certain time at which we would postpone the discussion until a further night. I think that
usually
2.5 hours is the longest the meeting can go. Okay, if that's what you want to do, Legislator Rodriguez, I'm on board.
I know I don't have a vote committee, but I would vote for
it.
We're dealing with this all the way through. We got that IJ. He's on hold to review in a bit. Green fleet policy. Excuse me for taking charge. Language is the same. So it shall be the policy of the county voucher to purchase, lease, or otherwise obtain the most energy efficient, cost effective vehicles possible that meet the operational needs of the county. That's A in the policy.
Same.
And the same language. It's one in the law. Two is policy of the county purchase vehicles that are appropriately sized. So we said, all right, we can keep that in there because that's number 12, Ken, in the law. So we're just going to keep it there because it was in the law, it's just later. Purchase the right size vehicle for the job.
Yep.
Okay. Three, or C, to be the policy of Ulster County to manage to operate its fleet in a manner that's energy efficient, minimizes emissions. Same language as two.
Yep.
And then D is the idling policy, which I have a note, talk to Kim and Public Works.
Yeah.
Which says that at any time or in personal vehicles on county property during work shifts shall not allow a vehicle to be left to idle for any period of time greater than 3 minutes. Is that appropriate, Kim?
WW trucks during the winter, they have to keep them running for a certain period of time.
Which is what I told Tracy.
It's too cold, though.
Right.
Can I just jump in and then Kim can tell me if this would be acceptable or not. It says, as should be the policy of the county of Ulster, blah, 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 in personal vehicle, shall not allow a vehicle to idle for a period greater than 3 minutes. This policy shall not apply during times of emergency response or for vehicles which require a longer idling time.
Is that kind of, I mean, our vehicle, those vehicles you talked about, is it only in the cold?
Their cars idle too.
But they don't.
Well, under policies, the SOP, they do have to. Because the sheriff in response time, the deputy is supposed to get into the car and go.
So you can leave the car idling for an hour?
Everybody's
not always about the truck.
That uses diesel.
Yeah.
I mean, even with the Charlie Busick policy, which is another comment for at the end of this I'd like to talk about, you know, under the Charlie Busick policy, all emergency services are exempt from it.
I believe he fought that, probably. It was a fight to get it passed.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of legislation out there which applies to their own standing police and sheriff's departments as well. I mean, I think the idea of a non-diesel vehicle, I mean, and I'm not speaking about the sheriff, just because, for example, we have a state police barracks in our town, and I've seen the car idle for 2 hours town board meeting.
I never see them idling their cars.
Yeah.
They go to lunch, they shut them off, they go back, they get in them, they take off.
But the smaller the municipality like that, the more they're actually by keeping an eye on the
food. I mean, yes and no, the town of Shawangunk is much smaller than the city of Kingston, they idle the cars. So,
yeah, for 2 hours.
Not for 2 hours, but I mean, they're normally not. You know, and it's normally not all of the vehicles. It's usually, if there's two vehicles at a substation, you usually need one idling.
I don't see any automobile being required to sit there and idle.
And
if they have a problem with turning that ignition, then they got a whole other issue.
You're talking about gasoline?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything like that.
Diesel.
Yeah. What's diesel? Well, even they don't use diesel for their vehicles, do they?
Not the sheriff's office, but we're talking about the sheriff.
I have a suggestion here. Because everybody's talking about time and people are already talking about why it's supposed to be two meetings, Kim, can this be something that you think about and work on in terms of what makes sense as an idling policy? Yeah,
I think when it comes to the big trucks and idle, the commissioner was a little vulgar.
Yeah.
So why don't we think of something that's practical, but as aggressive in terms of an environmental policy as we can be while taking into account the operations of our vehicles, as the proper operations of our vehicles. And you know that better than anyone at the table. And Kim can come back to us with information.
I mean, aside from having... I have no problem with that, but I mean, aside from the sheriff's vehicles idling outside of the, you know, in a non-emergency situation, which it can be debated, and I'm fine leaving that out for now, what would be the problem with this policy shall not apply during times of emergency response or for vehicles which require a longer idling period?
Because, again, from what I heard, we're talking about idling periods in the cold, so it's like...
I want to try to limit that open-ended language.
I think we can find the most restrictive language that is still responsible.
Doesn't sound very flexible. So.
And again, for the purposes,
and I talked to Trace about this, the reason that I had said that there, in my local law, that there shall be an idling policy was because, you know, in my father's business, we had diesels, and I knew that 3 minutes during the winter would not be a long enough time period to idle a diesel without causing problems.
Right. I also think there is a state law, and I said I would look that up, and I haven't had a chance to do that. Peter, you might be able to. I am quite sure there's a state law about idling for years, and it's not very enforced. But
I suspect there's probably a policy for the state, whether it's a law or it's a policy for the state, it would be informative to us because they use a lot of the same. Yeah. Vehicles are not the same concern. Okay. That's great. So between that, we'll get Diane. This will obviously be something that Kim has to be comfortable with.
And Rich Perry talked about that Verizon vehicles have that switch that turns them off after something like 5 minutes of idling.
Yeah.
You can always turn it back on.
Right, you can hit an override or something.
Yeah.
They only have so many, they're only getting there.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Doesn't GPS tell you if the vehicle is idling?
The ADLs.
ADLs
except if you buy that, you know, that module that goes with it.
But then
you,
well, okay,
so it's right. Usually, the ADL that we have right now just shows you how fast you're going, where they are. That's what we have right
Well, the question would be, would it...
Is it expensive to have that installed?
I don't think you'd probably make back the purchase on it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you don't know until you know how much fuel you're...
Check into it.
It doesn't matter.
What kind of fuel you have to purchase?
Okay, so effectively at the moment we'd be going with the policies ABC, however we, again we're not talking about the headings,
yep.
NB once modified, but assuming we don't agree with the modifications.
Now, the question I have is, you know, which...
It
goes from, you know, from A to B to B to C, it gets computing. The question I have is, Trace, you know, you were just keeping A, B, and C, and you were keeping B in your three. Is that what you were, is that what your intention was?
I don't care, I'm just looking at the language. It could be
right.
1, 2, 3, there's the policy
yep.
22, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know what I mean?
I understand.
I feel like that stuff's minor, we can figure that out.
Yeah.
But I like having the policy say that about purchasing vehicles and appropriately selling versus doing their thing.
Yep.
Actually in the policy, not just a strategy.
That's fine.
Straightforward,
but...
Just for that. Is that what happens when you're
coming to the inspection? I see in here you're talking about implementing a program that will train county employees to drive efficiently and utilize efficient vehicle operating techniques.
He's moved into fleet initiatives / green fleet strategy policy.
Okay, this is where Ken and I got to trying to like figure out where things
belong.
You know, intersected.
Yeah.
So what number was that, Peter?
That's
3 on here.
Number 7 is it? Number 8.
It's section 6-8. Yeah.
Oh, 6-8. Yeah.
I'm just curious, who's going to develop that, and when is it going to be done?
Well, that was in Ken's language in terms of strategy in the law, but the policy has something very similar. If you look on the policy and the fleet initiatives, A, subsection 1, we talk about the fleet manager and conjunction with the coordinator department will therefore research and examine ways to reduce fuel for the following techniques. 1, employee education on eco-driving techniques. In fact, I wrote 8 in reference to 1.
Yeah.
Route optimization, after some market devices from an island, what we're just talking about, technological advances.
Yeah.
So Ken and I recognize 8 and A1 as being similar.
But route optimization and aftermarket devices to limit idling, or not, but again, Ken has had an idling problem to be created, so.
I'm fine with taking out the, you know, the idling policy shall be created because we're creating.
Well, then that's what we're doing.
But it's
route optimization and technological advances.
But I guess to Peter's point, in the policy strategies, who and by when, whereas this, the policy says who, and there's no by when.
Okay, so, we could add a by when.
I know that when we had Jeff and some of the other people who were previously going to come back and follow him, we included that because I know that the coordinator environment is developing an educational program like that right now. So
yeah, no,
we're just thinking we're going to go right into that. Do it.
would you be trained?
Well, the way this is written, it would leave it up to the county executive essentially, which is, you know, a lot of this is the way, this is what we'd like to see happen, and the way that the executive wants it to happen will be how it happens.
I think that's the end of the first year.
Why don't we look at the law first? Let's go through the green fleet policy charges, then we'll look at the policy.
We need a certain level of clarity.
All right, so
I feel like
you want to do the law first and then the policy?
Because I have more.
But we know where there's sort of parts of it.
There's a lot of intersection.
All right,
we didn't put that in the policy. That's also from Prairie.
And I think that that's a good thing because, you know, if you need a four-wheel drive vehicle, there's more fuel-efficient four-wheel drive vehicles than a Tahoe. So I would lend towards the, you know, in each weight class that's why the weight classes are,
included.
There was a mistake that I put in there
looking at Cambridge Job Fair, I think that, you know, I don't have a problem with one.
Just have what we do now, for example. For example, we're purchasing several new vans this year, and went out, they sought out using, you know, federal guidelines that are out there, and they've identified, for example, Ford Transit, which is a four-cylinder, just like, you know, for the best miles per gallon of a van you could possibly buy.
That's not like the Sprinters, right?
Yeah. So that's what we're recommending for the purchases. When you see our vehicle purchases this year, you'll see that those, we've opted for those vans
instead of like an E350 or,
you know, how long you used to buy.
What it is too, we're also looking at is for, well, especially myself, and we're noticing, number one, I'm 2 years old.
Yeah.
We're also looking at what is the best alternative for what they have now.
Right.
Certain farms that have a median that are going to be replaced before transit. So we are looking at all of this now and downsizing. We've downsized. DSS is a prime example. They went from 6 to 8 cylinders to 4 cylinders.
And I'm sure there's certain vans where you wouldn't be able to use the transit because it doesn't carry the load that you would need.
Transit, actually, the Ford Transit now comes in all different sizes.
Really?
Like for somebody like buildings and grounds, the cleaning.
Yeah.
We've gone from they have minivans. They have one department that we're going to change and give them a Ford Transit cargo.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at, we're looking at getting a handicap van.
Mm-hmm.
They can make those transit into handicap vans, and they come with EcoPool, which is another alternative, because we can't, right now they don't come in electric, so you can use the EcoPool, which is another thing. But also you can get 12 passengers, they come with 10 passengers now, both side doors open, and these are the Ford Transit. Ford upgraded their whole fleet when it came to that van. And you can make them higher if you have to, or lower. So there's a big, there's a variety now that Ford has.
Excellent. Because those used to be really just one specific small.
I think the manufacturers are waiting at people that have three vehicles and realize that they're trying to be more environmentally friendly. So I think there's a lot more options today than there were just 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Are we up to 3 yet?
No, we're on one. We just finished one. So is everyone all right with one?
Yeah.
So two.
And sometimes
this language in large part is straight from the Dobbs Ferry standard, sample set by Mark. So okay, now we're up to 3.
So on 3.
On three, one, two, I'm sorry, go ahead.
There was a 2%, and then in the policy there's a 25% by 2020. And if you divide 5 years, we really, if you include all of 2020, let's say to the end of 2020, 5 years, that would be 5% per year. I could live with that. 2% is really
low. 2%, but that's actually 2% in 2.5 years.
Within a 2%
I thought, again, the mistake was
the vehicles purchased. I meant the fleet.
You meant the fleet.
Yeah. So 2% of the fleet by not of the vehicles.
Yeah. And
that would be
four to six vehicles, right? Depending, we got 300.
I think he might still be a little more aggressive.
No,
he meant the error.
What I'm trying is, why not just say that? Why not just have a range? You don't know which money the county's going to have.
That's,
you know?
That's why I aim low.
Yeah.
That's why I aim low, because if you're more, because, and again, the difference, if I could just throw this out there, I would, can we wait for Tracy, because this is, no?
No?
I think he's making a great point, though.
What if you don't have something to do?
We're not going to migrate.
Oh, okay. Well, the difference between what's written in the policy and what's written in the local law is that beginning in 2018, sure, that a minimum of 2% of passenger vehicles.
And the other one just.
And the other one says, is the goal of this policy by, you know, to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions from the Ulster County fleet by 25% by 2025.
Yeah.
But so
But I think the measure should be the vehicles, not the emissions.
Not the gas. And I agree with you.
Not that I disagree, but if you don't put it in terms of vehicles, we're not giving very much guidance. And if it's only 2% of the fleet,
2% of the fleet would be 5 or 6 vehicles.
What is the typical purchase per year in a fleet of this size?
Right now.
How many vehicles do we actually have right now that we are looking to convert? And then you can determine how many you want to convert over 10 years, 5 years, whatever.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
At least then you have a baseline to go from.
That depends year to year, doesn't it? It'll depend on where they're getting with the mileage, where they are with their useful life, where they are.
We're trying to get everything. Right now we're trying to get rid of everything that's at 99. That's a lot of cars we have at 99, 2000 and 2001, because that was a big. It must have been a big year that cars were bought for those years.
Yeah. I think we used to make catastrophic purchases.
In both the law and the policy, it applies to the full fleet, which includes the sheriff. The sheriff has a replacement plan of how many vehicles per year? Like, it depends.
3 to 5.
3 to 5.
And yes, usually gets talked down by the legislature.
We always have one department wanting more than we can give them, and it's pretty much where it is. But I still think we can. I don't want to tie us into a specific number.
And I will respectfully be a little bit specific, but only insofar as that. I mean, my feeling is I want to be more aggressive, but also on top of that, I mean, how many vehicles in general are we going to be planning on buying this coming year alone, right? I don't think that's the answer.
No,
it's cool. Don't worry about it.
I know the department this year, which I'm changing, that's one. It was two for the whole department.
If you're calculating, I'll start telling jokes in the meantime. But he's actually right.
It was like 7 vehicles.
7?
They're not all vehicles. There's 4 vehicles.
2 carbon monoxide molecules walking to a bar? Is that where we're going with
it? Well, they're vans. They're
vans.
Yeah.
So
you can surpass the gas. They're handicapped vans.
Yeah. And again, on that level, you know, the reason, the, you know,
the reason for keeping it being a reasonable requirement is because you don't know if the vehicles that are going to be replaced in a given year are going to be eligible for a green vehicle. You know, the veterans handicap van, the handicap van, as our illustrious fleet manager has said, we, you know, cannot be a green vehicle as it's defined in the law.
In the reality
of that
flexibility.
See, if it was a low emission vehicle, we probably should have.
And the plans do change. I mean, no plan has a great, you know, protective plan. It's change. I mean,
absolutely.
If the vehicle fails, it's a special dip, and you got to replace it.
If there's a total loss of the vehicle, that might, you know.
How do we want to define this?
What were you suggesting, Anna? What were you pushing for?
5% of the fleet a year for the next 5 years. Now, if you're not replacing 5% of the fleet each year, then
what's the total number in the fleet?
No. Up to is, it could be zero.
What's the total number in the fleet right now?
That includes
everything.
Sure.
Wow, it's close.
But what is reasonable
and
aggressive?
Those are two different things.
Well, we're going to change the law and go down. That stand could cause, because of all the added stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it, every year it depends. I mean, I did a 5-year plan, and it took out a lot of the older vehicles. But then there's been vehicles that have come up that they've gone down and we've had to replace.
Yep.
Or they've been condemned. You know, that's every year it's
Is there a minimum number we want to do?
5% of the vehicles, just rounding up, would be 15 vehicles a year.
But the goal, Kenny clearly already said with regards to this, it's not the person, he said he wanted to be 2% of the fleet. So therefore, we're talking about 5% of the fleet, right? I'm saying,
that's the thing.
No, I'm saying, but you're not purchasing 15 per...
Right, but that would mean every year, every purchase had to be green.
Getting to that number. Yeah, I mean, at that point, if you've got 7 for a year, right, and then this is beginning in 2018, now we can change 2018 to 2020 or something like that.
I could live with 5% of the fleet by 2020, which would be 1% of the fleet per year for the 5 years. Which I think is reasonable, 15 vehicles in 5 years.
Sure.
No. 5% a year.
She wants 5% a year.
So that means 15 vehicles a year.
We're not asking to get to 100%. We're just asking to get to 25% in 5 years.
We're buying seven vehicles.
What's the total?
298?
Yeah.
Well, 7 plus the sheriff. So that counts in the vehicle total.
Wait, I thought the 298 includes the sheriff from
that. No. So not the first. Not the seven vehicles.
No, I know. Not the 7. But the 298 does include the sheriff. So.
298 does.
Sure.
So 7 plus 3 minimum. Mm-hmm. The sheriff, and I feel like it's usually at least 3.
So then it needs to be 3%. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I was just saying
5% of the goal fleet by 2020, which means, again, in my head, I kind of said 5%.
Here's the answer. You want 5% by 2020, and Manor wants 25% by 2020.
Yeah.
Somewhere we need to.
And that somewhere can be aggressive and reasonable.
I like being aggressive, but I don't know that we're going to replace that many vehicles.
No, I don't want to force us to replace vehicles. I know one of the most determined people in this regard was driving a big old Cadillac. And he said, you know, the emissions for me to put in my car until the car needs to be charged in. So I'm not saying that you should purchase vehicles and prematurely retire other vehicles. I'm just saying of the ones you purchase, I'd like it to be that it would be 100% of the new purchases that could be green vehicles. But I don't know how to do that with approximately 300 vehicles over the course of the next 5 years, but I think we should try and define that so that it's a real policy.
Yeah. You know, some of the, again, some of the vehicles, you know, using the green definition are easier, like, you know, sedans are easy, you know.
Except for the sheriff, are we
going to
get pushback from the sheriff?
I'm sure you will. But the sedans are pretty easy. But, you know, again, Kim has mentioned, though we're buying the most fuel-efficient van we can possibly buy, these four transits, they get a great mileage. They're not a green vehicle, but we're buying the transits. But they certainly are a lot better than what we had.
We probably at some point will need to have the sheriff in the discussion. I mean, I see green police vehicles in other communities, and the sedans that the sheriff is utilizing, to my knowledge, are not four or all-wheel drug vehicles, right? Those whatever they're called. They're rear-wheel drive.
Exactly.
So you can't argue with me about how great they are in the snow.
Not you,
but I'm saying no one could say to me, oh, these are great cars in the snow, we need them because of all the weather. They're 8-cylinders. Yeah, now they're buying the 4-4s.
They could.
They could.
They have the cars that
we just bought recently. Okay, so they could switch to hybrids. So, yeah, I mean, I think we should come up with something that's as aggressive as we can be while being realistic.
Percentage by a certain term
or percentage per year. Do you need both? Do you want a percentage purchase per year?
Well, I think if you figure out, you know, I mean, you figured out, you did initials, but if you figure out a time and then you backcast, then that's how you create a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe 3%, you know, it's a reasonable.
But you're saying per year.
2% per year.
Yeah. But at the same time, and I think, I mean, and this is a question.
To achieve a goal of 15% by 2020. That's a 3%.
I mean, I think for me, I think that the. Whatever the goal is, to me, that's the critical number, because, for example, there might be a year where the only thing they're purchasing, where the only thing they're purchasing is, buses. I don't know the example, so it's like, but knowing that the answer one is that what the final goal is really clearly spelled out, then within the realm of working, I mean, we could have a guideline for a percentage per year purchase, but if you know the end goal is, whatever it is, 15 by 2020, 25 by 20, 100 by what,
I think that we shouldn't set a goal. I think we should set a directive. That's my thing, but make it a reasonable directive. Because you set a goal, 15% by 2020, and they get 2%.
But your directive then... If you have a directive only without a goal, then by using logic, eventually you're going to get at 100%, right?
You've lost your audience to pontificate, you can.
Your recorder's still on.
That's right.
Yeah, so she already has a five-year plan.
They gave up already? Our audience gave up. But we should keep talking around this. Let's focus on what we want to do.
We're at 15% by 2020.
Well, maybe we should just say we're thinking home for the figures. Okay. We have a five-year plan. We're talking about 5 years. And then we would see what she, you know,
let's look at her five-year replacement plan, just so we even have that information.
But I think the point is, it really should be 100% of the new vehicles that are eligible. I mean, I understand there's...
I don't agree. I don't necessarily agree with that. Does it make financial sense to the county?
Is there, I understand the positives on buying hybrid and hybrid electric vehicles. Positives to the environment. There's not,
also for cost.
Not 100%. There's definitely not been proven
to,
yet.
We need to see a cost-benefit analysis.
I agree.
You know what we do have is we have some really great report that was just produced by the City of New York. They've done a lot of work with hybrid vehicles. And,
the City of New York has a much different topography than Ultra.
I understand that, but they've been able to really document that the additional costs associated with the upfront purchase of the hybrid vehicles, they've more than made up with saving gas.
And
but again, stop and go traffic in the city is the way that you charge the battery on a Prius.
So this is one section. We're going to wait until we get more information.
That's fine. Great.
Okay.
We're not going to agree on this.
It says it without data.
We may not agree at the end. This may be another.
Okay. Number four is, again, that's straight from the Dove Ferry. Review all vehicle procurement specifications modified as necessary to ensure that all specifications are written in an acceptable manner to allow the purchase or lease of alternatively fueled or electric drivetrain vehicles. That language is from Green Fleet. So one thing that I would suggest, or I mean, put into discussion, is the purchase or lease of green vehicles instead of alternatively fueled or electric drivetrain vehicles, because that's what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Even against your number three.
I would be fine with replacing electric drivetrain vehicles with green vehicles, but I wouldn't want to take out alternatively fueled.
But what we're not talking right now. There's nothing that would stop the. This is my argument. There was nothing that would stop the fleet manager or anyone at this moment from buying alternatively fueled vehicles. Right now, if in Kim's replacement plan, she put in LPG vehicles. There's the LPG vehicles in her plan.
For the purposes of people listening to the recording, I'm sure that this executive would not do that.
This is our green fleet policy, so what we're talking about is specifications that allow us to purchase green vehicles. That's what, I mean, I think that this is kind of gets off our point.
Regardless of just to move the discussion forward, I would be fine with, removing those and just spraying green vehicles.
Okay.
So let's just the purchase lease of these vehicles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then four is fine at that point?
Yeah. For me, I don't know about anyone else.
Okay.
5, review every new vehicle purchase request, modify them as necessary to ensure that the vehicle class to which the requesting vehicle belongs is appropriate for the duty requirements the vehicle be called on to perform. I think that's good. Review the fleet inventory taken in section 3 above to identify older vehicles that are used infrequently or not at all, as well as those vehicles that are disproportionately inefficient and scheduled their elimination or replacement. Implement a program that will train county employees to drive efficiently and utilize efficient vehicle operating techniques. Eco-driving techniques. Do we want to put in route optimization? I guess that's all included.
I kind of like route optimization actually being in there. Even if you mentioned it.
Taking the scenic route contribute to employee morale? I'm just joking.
So we'll just add including route optimization
for our policy.
Including route optimization. Including but not limited to.
I don't know, would you say including but not limited to and then put one thing?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. That's why I was making a
change. And how about this? Implement a program that will train county employees to drive efficiently and utilize efficient operating techniques
such as
route optimization.
And we can come up with more if you want.
Okay, yeah, we'll make a note to move.
But highlight buttons, you know, such as, you know.
Okay, and we'll
write that. This would be a good place to, Amanda will have some more
thoughts. Yeah, we'll get Amanda's feedback, because that might be good, especially then considering that we're writing it for the long haul, so I think Amanda's input would be valuable for future administrations as well. So we're
going
to look at that more.
Yep.
Thanks.
So we'll start at 9.
Reduce motor vehicle use by the utilization of fleet management software, optimizing vehicle use, the selection of the right vehicle for employee tasks, and encourage transit use, bicycle riding, walking, and telecommuting where feasible.
Legislator Donaldson and Lauren could bike to the county building.
Sorry. Remember, what's his name was used to? Alan Whitman.
Good.
Also ride sharing. Oh, yeah, ride sharing. In fact, do we have a ride sharing?
Well, why don't we put transit use, bicycle riding, walking, ride sharing, and telecommunication instead of adding carpooling after the end.
You like ride sharing or carpooling better?
Ride share is the term. There's actually a bunch of electronic sites that you can sign off. Ride share.
Yeah. Is that most attorneys?
Okay, number 10, maximize efficiency of the vehicles by having them regularly maintained and checking tire pressure, keeping them aerodynamic, putting max ladders and tools on vehicle roofs only where necessary. Where did you get that one? Not in the
question,
did you find in that one, the other one?
I don't recall. Chris has all the backup on all these things at the office. It might have been the Illinois. There was a policy in Illinois that we looked at, and
okay.
It might have been in that one.
Jim, I've got a question. How often are the tires actually checked?
Fire
the
department checks their own,
because
the lights come right on.
In the newer vehicles,
yes, the older ones. But usually, we check them too once
they come down. A lot of times, you don't want to do it until it's a problem. You check it. Depends,
you see a lot of people.
I'm just curious,
Well, proper tire pressure is one of the most important parts of... Not just for the gasoline, but your wear and tear on the tire.
How many people have shown up flat?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so sequence.
My wife came home.
Diversify the fuel type used around the fleet.
That tire's making a noise and had to come to the
tire. I still thought it was making a noise.
Sorry, when you guys do the next one.
Yeah.
So, the fleet way to diversify the fuel types around the fleet, that line gives me pause. Green vehicles.
Again, Tracy, I'm sorry. I got to ask one more question.
Yeah.
How often do you check for wheel alignment?
Every. Usually, we do it like every 6,000 miles.
On all vehicles?
And if we change the tires, we get a wheel
alignment.
Okay.
And especially if they're wearing uneven.
That's what I'm...
Yeah, we check for them wearing unevenly. We check for, if we do wall joints and...
tie rods, things like that.
Tie rods, we automatically send it. About every 6,000 miles we send it.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, because we're rotating them as well. Sorry, every time they come in, we're rotating the tires.
Okay, that's fine.
I am fine with 11 if we take out the sequence to diversify the fuel type and just say green vehicles should be considered for procurement and utilization when the use is appropriate to the application and life cycle cost analysis demonstrate the procurement. Because we've already defined what green vehicles are, so we just... But that's where we're going to start getting into trouble.
And can we also meet if we do that? If we delete that first line, which Ken, you're going to have to speak, we can also change it. Can we change the language from should to will? Or do we have to keep it should?
Where's the should?
Green vehicles should be considered versus green vehicles will be considered. I think should.
Yeah, we have to.
Should is a stronger word.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't now if it doesn't work.
Will is actually stronger. Although
Will is the same kid as
single to the same as shooter, but if it will be considered. You know, for procurement utilization.
I'd be fine with shall. The green vehicles shall be considered.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Keep the language consistent. Okay. Start with procure and utilize green vehicles, only because everything else.
Oh, yeah. That actually sounds good.
Yeah.
Procure and utilize green
procurement.
Wait, but that fixes it anyway. Green vehicles. Procure and utilize green vehicles when their use is appropriate to the application unless they've put them on.
No, but then that takes away the consideration portion of it.
But the consideration is elsewhere. Like, this is just policy strategies, right? I mean, because we go through with review and implement and reviews.
How would you write it, Krista? Read to me the way you'd write that.
I have procure and utilize green vehicles
when their use is appropriate.
When their use is appropriate for the application of life cycle costs. No. Actually, that would be and or the life cost analysis.
No.
Life cycle cost analysis.
Procure and utilize green vehicles when their use is appropriate to the application and lifestyle and a life cycle cost analysis demonstrates the procurement and utilization of a vehicle shall be economically
feasible. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's the language of the
and a life cycle cost analysis.
Thank you.
Yep. That's how you bridge that.
Whatever. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Purchase the right size vehicle for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And use. Not using.
And use the lightest duty vehicles. I don't know. I'm fine believing the way it is. And use small light duty vehicles if that's what you guys want. But I mean, small. This is not necessary.
And use light-duty vehicles.
The most efficient vehicle for the job.
That's the first half of it.
Instead of the right size, you want to say the most efficient vehicle instead of the right size?
No, I like the right size.
You're literally talking about size, right?
Yeah.
Appropriate size?
Light-duty vehicles, where possible, I think might be a problem, technically, with the definition, because purchase the right-size vehicle for the job, and so a passenger vehicle might be the right-size vehicle, but it's possible to use a light-duty vehicle.
I'm fine with just saying purchase the right-size vehicle for the job.
Period.
And then lose the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Keep apprised of the latest technology and product innovations for fleet vehicles, which includes but is not limited to the use of low rolling resistance tires and using nitrogen to inflate. I don't know anything about nitrogen to inflate.
Nitrogen doesn't have the same pressure decay as air, I believe.
Yeah.
Which would limit the need to bring them there to reinflate the tires. Nitrogen, there's nitrogen dealers all over the county. One of them is the place in Marlboro. There's a place in Marlboro next to Weaver Gas.
Instead of putting examples, why don't we write, keep apprised of the latest technology, of technological advances and product innovations for fleet vehicles. Because at the moment, I don't know about the nitrogen to inflate tires or low rolling resistance.
They need to maximize the environmental benefits of the fleet. I mean,
And if we can come up with like a list of things, and maybe Cam, you can come back and speak to that too, or if there's something that we want to include. But I'm fine. I would.
I feel like this is the only one, but I want to look.
Yeah, check it out because. Keep apprised of technological advances.
I don't think there's a problem with listing out certain ones, but I mean, if we find out that there's
better ones or other ones? I mean,
well, what's the cost benefit of, like, I mean, obviously I realize you don't have to inflict them as often. That means, you know, theoretically, you get less, you know, wear on the tires that way, but...
Yeah, well, it's not just about the wear on the tires. It's about, you know, I mean, it's less time at fleet, at the motor pool. Yeah.
Well, let's look into certain ones. I mean, because in the policy we had aftermarket devices during the idling, but that would be put over here. That would move from here to there, probably. But let's see what we can come up with that everyone could agree would stand the test of time in a policy or law versus.
You could still just even simplify it, even raise the latest technology and product innovations to maximize the environmental efficiency of the fleet. I mean, it's just a little generic, you know.
Let's think about the language.
It's not really a sticking point to me either.
Yeah. Okay, so now, before we move on to Section 7, if we go back to the fleet initiative and the policy,
before Section 7.
If you go back to the fleet initiative and the policy, I feel like A is pretty much covered, other than, like, we can talk about the aftermarket, like, for technological advances, we've been to the station, we have but C is not in there, and it may not... B may not move to strategies, but
right.
I think we need to look at B and determine if and where that would go. So, Ulster County is committed to using electric, hybrid, and sustainable alternative fuel vehicles across the fleet. Any initiative to introduce alternative fuel technologies will consider the sustainability of the fuel, including life cycle energy and emissions, as well as the renewability of the fuel. Additionally, Ulster County seeks to move toward zero emission vehicles by promoting the use of electric, hybrid, and sustainable vehicles by residents. We'll do so by giving priority to purchase electric, hybrid, and sustainable alternative fuel vehicles, and installing electric vehicle charging stations in county-owned facilities, and supporting initiatives and research, which will lead to the further development of electric, hybrid, and sustainable alternative fuel vehicles across the community.
No, I support these things, nor do I know that. End the sentence in B where you were just talking. End with the sentence as well as the renewability of the fuel source. I don't think that in the county's green fleet policy we should discuss something such as becoming a zero emission county with personal vehicles of residents. I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to start buying Priuses for people? I mean, that's the way you do that. But.
Well, we're talking about, no, it says Ulster County seeks to
move toward
zero.
Everybody
gets a Prius. It doesn't say a zero emission.
Well, no, it says, additionally, Ulster County seeks to move towards zero emission vehicles by promoting the use of electric, hybrid, and sustainable alternative fuel vehicles by residents. How would we do that? I mean, the charging stations is one thing, and I had that discussion. And we're doing, you know, the county executive is doing that already, and they've assured me that they don't need our, that we don't have to vote on that or...
To promote would be through an educational program. That's how you would promote it. You're not
required. And with dollars is one way to do it. I mean, not everybody has the ability to purchase, a new vehicle, let alone... a new vehicle with a cost $10,000 higher, or between $5,000 and $10,000 higher than the cost of a non-hybrid vehicle.
These are changing the cost of some banks, and
not by enough to make it sustainable over the general population.
But they're coming down. We're setting an example too that they're going to see our vehicles, they're going to see us using the charging stations, they're going to be accessible to the non-commercial public, and again, it's about creating incentives and showing us possible.
Just to clarify, though, this is a green fleet policy for the county fleet?
Yes. That's sort of the point that I've been trying to make.
Policies? I don't disagree. I'm just saying it's
sort of
different.
Maybe that belongs in a...
It belongs maybe with an educational component.
Again, I don't know that it belongs in the green fleet. We're talking about green fleet policy for county vehicles, and now we're talking about residence vehicles.
Okay, so this is a policy, not a law?
It's a policy created with a law.
I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Is it a law that needs a policy?
Yeah. Usually I count on Legislator Rodriguez for things like that. Rodriguez.
He's mentoring me.
Good luck.
All right.
So
what are we going to do with that?
But again, that's going to lead us back to sustainable alternative fuel is another thing that we have to go back to at some point.
Right.
We do. It doesn't actually kind of go into...
Is it in the beginning?
Well, no, I was going to say, I'm not saying that it isn't, but that goes here somewhere. I mean, it should be...
Which is
the same as basis for the policy.
Yeah, so let's talk about... So we're talking about moving up till source,
and then additionally in between that is the line.
Yeah, which is basic.
Yeah.
Which we've taken the language from the policy, not the law, but
right.
But moving exactly what you're talking about.
Basis for policy / legislative intent.
Yep.
Whatever it turns out to be in the end.
Yep. Okay. What do you think, Vanna, Peter, in terms of maintaining that first half and moving it to legislative intent basis for policy?
My inclination on the second half would be to strike it and put that in a separate policy. I think that we should have a separate policy on whether or not the county should have these electric charging stations and have them be available to the public.
For free is your...
Well, that's been my concern the whole time, because we're not putting 275-gallon gas tanks around the county and giving people an eighth of a gallon of gas.
Ken and I have talked about
there's not a lot of electric, I understand, but it's the principle to me that's a concern.
Okay, but let me just kind of give the general terms for which the 9 charging stations that we've ordered are going to be all grant funded. There's a 15% local share that we will basically offset through our own kind work. So our installation, our
trenching, conduits, everything.
Offset that so cost. So essentially there are no additional costs for county purchase. There is some nuance to it. They're all run to a pretty high-end internet-based system, smartphone technology. If we don't charge for them, that we're able to use the system without additional cost.
Which is why I'm not being a pain in the rear end about it.
I want to be really clear. I don't think that these charging stations are going to get massive use.
Me neither.
What's the average time usually? Like 2 hours?
It's not, but the volume of these vehicles on the market is just low.
I would imagine in some places it would be
But at this stage, and given how we're receiving them, and there really is a minimal cost
for having it. But again, I think it should be a legislative policy on the books on it personally.
But as things change, if the residents of Ulster County all decide that our small investment in this technology is going to force it. We get a dramatic increase, the vehicles are being used constantly, then they have to revisit it. But this stage is minimal impact. Again, we're pleased that we're able to get the machine generally through grant resources.
Other people's tax.
But I have a question for you. So if while somebody is utilizing these electric stations, if something happens to the person's vehicle, are we responsible?
Uh,
I know there's all kinds of, when people log in to use it, there's all kinds of disclaimers and whatnot. But a better conversation that we had is you actually demonstrate, you should actually have a demo unit in our office. Mm-hmm. You can demonstrate to the community how it works, and you show you on your smartphone how it works. There's a FOB that we have employees, the general public. You go to a smartphone app, it shows you where they are, if they're at free or not at the time. It's
essentially going to be like a gas boy for electric.
Essentially, yeah. And we're able to monitor the use, and we just have limitations on the use. So no one's taking advantage of it.
It's really what you were talking about an incentive. At some point, you're right. You know, when the market starts getting saturated, that's going to have to be phased out or charged for. But initially, it's a way of incentivizing.
It's a non-issue. Yeah. It's not really good.
It'd be a good thing. But you want to make it into a separate.
I just don't think it belongs here.
Me personally, I'm open to that discussion. I just want to think about it. I'm making a discussion. But can I just say one other thing on this? I mean, one thing I was thinking about, and I know when it first comes to Amanda and Ken about when the hybrids and mm-hmm. all that stuff, about the idea of promoting that, just because I like that. I mean, and maybe in terms of the strategies, and I'm going to think of how to simplify so it's not that we're all this language about residents, but somewhere in the strategy is one line about how where possible, we will promote the use of electric hybrid and sustainable alternative vehicles by identifying the vehicles. You know how you like people wrap like the DOT, like in New York City, all those green vehicles, all of them say like New York City green vehicle. I know it's a Prius, but still it's like reaffirming like, we're going green, we're committed. And so it's in some ways it's saying to the public, we're doing something. We care. It's not saying you have to go out and buy a vehicle. It's not saying,
Right.
And so maybe if I can find a
little bit. There's a different way we can do that.
Yes. But just in the strategies,
I like the idea. Where possible. It's going to read,
this is a green vehicle, courtesy of Michael Behind, County Executive.
I don't care. But you know what I'm saying?
How many fueling stations are you going to have?
I believe that
nine. Are they going to continue to put more in over time?
Oh, we're looking at it. I mean, I think we've covered every county facility except for, like, Pula in the current phase. Well, they did an assessment where easy to hook it up, where there's enough room.
Is there diversity of location in the county? Because most county facilities are in the greater Kingston area, so if we're not going to do one at the pool, that seems to leave out the southern end of the county.
We're looking at it.
Okay.
A lot of it had to do with just our quick assessment of what we could do and what was possible without a major investment.
Because having nine of them in the same area seems kind of...
I wish I made it with her. She would share with you. But then the fact that the pool is a thin air and the event, there's a lot of high profile things.
It's proximity to most of the southeastern part of the county.
I think a lot of it had to do with just the ease of installation, and we didn't have to drag huge power lines and that type of thing. So again, our goal here
is how much power do you need to generate this? It's a 120 outlet, isn't it?
Well, I wanted to correct what I said before. It takes me 2 hours because it's using 120, but the charging stations are 220, as far as I know. So it's a lot faster.
But still, 220 is not much bigger than a 120 wire. I mean, it's not like you're dragging high voltage.
Well, but I think they charge in an hour instead of two.
We're going to move to the opening.
Fair enough.
I'm going to see if I can come up with a sentence just
that doesn't directly address this, but talks about somehow, you know, self-promotion or...
Every parking lot, like, that we have in Ulster County government.
It's important for someone to see it.
Especially brighter, and they're saving a lot of money.
We should have it like the bat light. Like, each one should say LED and shine down LED in the underground.
But it really is, I think, real positive reinforcement, and it says that it identifies to the public a positive thing.
I agree.
But I also
understand it.
It's inspirational. I mean, I'm always excited when I see those near city cars we have, even.
The ones that paint the green? We have a different level of respect with the two of us.
We are
still using the same definition, and we're going to include the beginning of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goals we're re-examining.
Goals we're going to look at when that's...
And by the way, I don't mean to not include emissions goals. I just think it's going to be much more measurable if we have vehicles.
And I think that there's deliverables that you can really see as part of, vehicles. You know, one vehicle over another, and not necessarily one emissions level over another.
It was good to be just sort of splitting hairs. I think at that point, I think if you're putting the right vehicles into the fleet, you're going to see a noticeable change.
Correct.
You know,
so the question is if we can reach a happy medium with the vehicle
flow. Yeah, I think all
equal. And I think we speak to reducing greenhouse gas emissions elsewhere too.
So
we'll see. So this is out. Now we get into section 7, which is monitoring the green fleet, and section 6, which is the principal guidelines, which they're kind of very different, but parallel. So they cut.
Yeah.
So let's, maybe Ken, you could speak to section 7 first. Okay.
That's fine. My purpose for monitoring the green fleet policy. First of all, I understand that Kim does a lot of all of the fleet operations, really, or manages all the fleet operations, and Amanda, in a lot of areas, the policy would, help to, interface and...
What's that?
On the green portions of it, a second set of eyes is always good, and a second set of thoughts, and all of the folks who are using the different sets of vehicles, the health department uses a lot of public works, the sheriff, it would be a good thing to get everybody in the same room and discuss, are there ways we can do better? Are there things that they see behind the wheel, that their employees see behind the wheel, that are, a way we can optimize the fleet, or a way we can optimize, route tracking, or, any of the above. So, this group would get together, I think once a year, but let me think of those. Do you want to go through it piece by piece, or do you want
to... I can speak to my concerns to Ken initially, because a lot of the sample and example laws that exist and policies that exist country over, have these kinds of review committees, but...
I understand.
But my
pick one person from those three departments.
My initial concerns, and they still remain my concerns, are that sort of charter issues and division of power, and I said to Ken that I felt like that this, and the reason I didn't put it in this is that I felt like it was an overstep. Ken can speak to why. Where he feels like it isn't, and that at the least I felt like we got pushback as it being an overstep. Then Ken and I, after airing that issue, we went through this section talking about how things, from my perspective, from having met with Kim prior, how things differ, because some of what this talks about, because it takes language from other legislation, it doesn't acknowledge the way things are currently done, where we're talking about
department or agency fleet managers. Like, I don't think we have department fleet managers. We just have, yeah, we have the overall
right.
fleet manager. And so we talked about where there was a disconnect, where this speaks to a body of government that doesn't have the system we currently have in place. And so we went through and we talked about that as a concern. And for some reason I had marked out 6, 7, and 8 and put X's. I don't remember why I was
I envisioned the administration producing the reports. Here's the inventory, here's the benchmarks, you have all the information requested. Present it to whatever committee the legislature would decide. And then you would review it and ask the administration a question. And then we would produce whatever the appropriate answer and question.
If I could, I would agree that if a committee of the legislature was doing these things, that would be an encroachment upon operations of the county. But all of the people who would be voting members of the Green Fleet Review Committee are members of the executive branch appointed by the executive branch and serving at the pleasure of the executive branch.
You can't tell me to create this committee.
My attorney disagrees with you. And again, you know, the county executive's office, while they have done a very great many awesome things in Ulster County, county executive's office, county attorney's office, and such are in the business of protecting, preserving, and expanding the power of the executive branch. I think that, you know, anything that we try to do that comes, I mean, in the realm of close to, you know, what they would see as operations, they're going to push back on. And we've seen that, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure the county attorney has somewhere down in the county attorney's office a blank memo with, you know, this is operations, the legislature doesn't have a right to do it, and then fills in the blanks with whatever policy we're proposing. So, again, This is one of the things that was very important to me in the policy. It's something I'm going to fight for. And again, you know, I'll have Erica come to the next meeting and plead our case on it.
Hector,
thank you. Hold on. So, you know, one of my issues with Kennedy, I brought this up actually 3 weeks ago, whatever. I mean, it's three that, you know, does sort of become, at least from my perspective, a bit more sufficient point.
Because?
Well, it's into the whole cross, but, you know, the cross-pollination with the sort of, the, you know, at that point, you can kind of, like, you know, blur those lines, so to speak.
Well,
I mean, so, for example, not even on that, but, for example, when we wrote a local law banning the use of pesticides and herbicides, right?
Yeah.
We did create a committee.
That was that pre-starter.
That's not the same law. But for us? No. This was, no, you're just using a clarification law. I'm talking about we actually have a local law, and it's post-starter. It was in 2009. That basically bans the use by the county, that bans the use of herbicides and pesticides.
On county property.
And if there's a committee that is made up solely of members of the executive team.
Right.
There is no legislative member of that committee.
Who wrote it? Like, who determined the executive team?
So, that's where I've got an issue, personally. So,
well,
I'm telling you right now.
I can tell you that, you know, we have, I mean, I have a great example of a committee that meets regularly now that has members of the legislature on it and non-voting members of the executive branch and the comptroller's office, and that's the audit committee. It was written that way. And the executive's office actually, in the when we were doing the charter revision commission, the executive's office fought to have the executive and the comptroller as voting members of that committee, and it was fought, and finally they were made non-voting members. So,
but that's specific to the charter.
Well, explain to me the problem with having the legislature's non-voting members.
At the end of the day,
it is up to the executive office to go and accomplish things. Well, we can go in and say, you know, we want a report. We want the report to be in the following, you know, to contain the following elements. You know, that I'm okay with. You know,
so you would report it absent three.
I'm just saying.
Oh,
that's my biggest qualm right now is three. That's my personally right now, and that's just knee jerk just right now.
Because I mean, I can tell you, three is my least important part of the Green Fleet Review Committee, because they're non-voting members. We could go to the committee. I mean, for God's sakes. I mean, the only thing that having non-voting members on here is because I don't know that this committee would have to abide by open meetings rules, so they can have it at midnight and not tell us.
Well, also, that committee, I mean, that's where I feel like intersected with
operations. Yeah, this is a procedure, and there will be an annual report.
And it's a group of people from the executive branch who would be accomplishing the operations.
We do this daily. We don't do just once a year. We're doing this stuff daily.
Do you get all these people in the room and review it all daily?
I did this totally.
You get all these people in the room and do this all daily?
I'm just saying that.
That's not
wrong.
I'm interested to hear Erica's, you know, Erica's take, because I do feel like it gets into policy a bit. And one thing I want, and then notwithstanding, like if we were to all agree, okay, this is what we're gonna do, then there's different issues. As you like said, that kind of doesn't comport
right
with the way we currently operate. But I like that question, like. And you and I went through some of it. So we have the county executive appointing members from each committee. So you have something like the Department of Health, which I know
yep.
because of the health impacts. But now you have the Department
of Health. Well, it's the health impacts, and they have a large number of fleet vehicles in the Department of Health.
Yeah, right, and Department of Purchasing. But now, we're telling the executive to put together this committee that's then effectively going to review
what Amanda and Kim using names of people in the positions now.
Yeah. What Amanda and Kim do based on the policy, and also this committee is going to whatever reason why it's 4, 6, 7, and 8. I don't remember why, although I know you like that report.
Well, I crossed out 7.
Appeal. I crossed out 7 too. Yeah, I'm not sure about the appeal.
Well, this is the form of government. There is no appeal. Okay?
Yeah.
No kidding.
I want to just say, if three stays in, then it's got to be the majority and minority leader, because the chairman doesn't necessarily represent the majority. From the party.
That's fine.
That's a minor thing. I don't have a strong opinion. Yes, one way or another. I like the idea of an annual review. I think that's a good idea.
But you like it in the form of a committee reviewing, or a report coming to a legislative oversight committee, which is the way the legislature currently operates, and then feedback and sort of pushing the questions in terms of that.
I don't have a strong feeling that I think there's, as long as there's, you know, real positive attitude and sort of buy-in to the goals, that meeting once a year, having this group meet once a year is probably not a bad idea. I
don't think the executive's office necessarily thinks it's a bad idea either. They just think it's a bad idea and we're suggesting it.
You can't mandate our procedures.
Right. We don't. Although I like 7.
You like 7?
Ken and I got rid of 7.
I feel like you didn't like it. I remember we talked about it and you were like, 18 hokey though.
I feel like seven didn't acknowledge.
No, it's creature.
I think seven didn't acknowledge the current without the overreach, just the way that we. But the reality is that the fleet manager right now is, I don't know why there'd be a committee to override the fleet manager
And that's why I was like, I can deal with that.
Okay, not to override, but to meet and consult.
So are 6, 7, 8 out?
7 was out.
7
I liked 8. 8 was one of my favorites.
7 was out. 8.
No, then I hate it.
There you go.
Oh, I like it.
Right?
Yeah.
6 and
I think Nana would love to be at the awards ceremony.
You give out the green card.
Can we do that?
We haven't finished talking about it yet.
Yeah. We're good. We can get this done in 15 minutes.
I'm fine with
taking a note on the whole thing. Well, it's a damn good thing you don't have a buff then, huh?
Yeah, it's a year between.
Yeah. You got a pen and
that's not part of the order. Can we read number 4 for a moment? This is some of what.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So if we read number 4, I'm just pointing that as an example. This is what you and I started to discuss, but we got cut off by the meeting. On an annual basis, department or agency, you and I cross that off.
And Ross Fleet Manager.
Because Ross Fleet Manager shall submit a draft Green Fleet plan to the Green Fleet Review Committee. Well, the idea, when I think about this logically, I'm like, the Green Fleet plan is the policy or the law, whatever we want to call it, I don't know. That is the Green Fleet plan or policy. So what is the Fleet Manager supposed to draft that's different than the policy or the law? Because the law or the policy is the directive of the plan. So, that's...
You want to say something else, Ken?
Ken, you have something to say.
Oh, Ken, sorry. I thought you were Ken.
Oh, I was just trying to understand the department. That's earlier, but I'm...
Oh, okay.
Well, that was the health department. I don't know why I
did it. Yeah, I don't know why I ever did it.
Well, the public health portion of the of having a green fleet policy is part of it.
I think we just disagree with this approach. I mean, I think
you made that clear.
Only appropriate to set a policy, set a goal, and then evaluate.
Well, saying things over and over again, Pete, you didn't like that.
I can tell you right now, no matter what we do here, there's going to be a lawyer's discussion. So, let's move on.
But just for clarity, I apologize, I don't want to leave this point. 1 and 2 basically outline the group, right?
Yep.
Alright, so 3, take it or leave it, we'll leave it to the side. Alright, 4, so really what we're talking about really is that 4, 5, and 8, right? Oh, 9, because 9 is
4, 5, 8, and 9,
yeah. Alright, that's really what we're basically talking about here.
So right. This is out, you're seeing the kind of live discussion right now. Yeah. 4, 5.
So it's
how is this going to be able to determine whether we see the property tax cap or not?
4, 5.
Members of the health department have no idea about the county's anything that has to do with their
own. Ooh, look at that! Letter A. They might have something to say about it, huh?
At
this point, I wouldn't come close to mixing branches of government in there.
You would never
fear
a plan. You need a plan.
Okay.
And then you would evaluate whether the plan fits your policy.
In the policy, we put in that, if you look at reporting, annually, the Elster County Committee is in conjunction with the Elster County Executive.
But again, under your policy, nobody but the, absent other action by the county executive, nobody other than the fleet manager and the coordinator of the Department of the Environment are involved in the process at all. So you're dealing with essentially two individuals who are the only people who are involved in the
development, management, and execution of the green fleet policy.
I mean, I would argue that the county executive who is the one who's the
overall, yeah. And
I'm fully aware that your side of the government would prefer there not be a legislature at all, and the executive would rule with an iron fist. But that's not
okay. In conflict with the charter, then it's in conflict with the charter.
And who determines that?
That's going to be
lawyers.
Two lawyers.
Separate lawyers.
I bet they're going to determine that it's Erica, and it's going to be Beta Brownage.
Well, and I bet that they won't agree.
Well, let's see what happens. But I can tell you right now, going back and forth here is not going to change it tonight.
I agree with you. I'm perfectly fine with not going back and forth anymore here tonight. I'm starting to go.
Can I clarify, item number 4, is that the same as your policy?
No.
5B? Or 6B?
4 where?
Is 4 on page 6 in the local law that is similar to...
No.
6B?
I mean,
in terms of what would go with all the details and what would go into the...
No, we haven't even gotten into the principal guidelines yet.
And I feel like the principal guidelines, like, if a review committee were to remain in the policy or law, the principal guidelines could coexist, because the principal guidelines are saying how to guide the thing, and the review committee is a
separate,
so I feel like they're not usually.
So then,
it's
not eight would then be...
It's true, because this review committee doesn't even have a reporting to the legislature.
Okay.
Like, there's not a reporting from the legislature, so it even stays.
I'd be fine with leaving it in as part of
the what.
Part
I feel like,
I feel like that's a good thing that I left out that should be in there, the reporting is more decision.
So is there a way of then moving...
No, I don't want to put it into the green thing. I don't want to put that in.
I think that this right now is the thing. I mean, I feel, from my perspective, I feel like I'd like to hear... I'd like to, several things. I'd like to hear Erica.
Yep.
I don't know that Kathy or Chris have even looked at it. I'd like to hear B, even though I expect I know what the argument's going to be, but I'd like to hear the specifics.
I could probably write you the memo. I'm actually going to take a swing at it.
I'd like to hear the specifics of the argument. And then lastly, I'd like, if you can, Ken, since we've eliminated funds, maybe because I feel like we might be getting, like, spent, in terms of... brain-wise, if you can sort of capitalize a way to articulate what it is you're really getting at in taking into account the current system and the way that
I'm pretty sure that with this, I think that this was, that you saw in a lot of them, there's a review committee. And I think that we took it straight out of there and implemented it a little
really
bit. So
I'll talk about what your ultimate goal is with it, and then we can talk about taking it to legal and what your plan's real.
And we
can't
be excited.
Yeah, we will.
We will.
All right.
I just clarify kind of what you're expecting from us. We're going to give you some thoughts on the idling policy.
Yeah.
And also kind of our thoughts on kind of our just our current plan and our goals might fit into that. Well,
and then language for 13 in the local law, the technological advances, some, if there were certain ones that Amanda could bring up that might be worth including as examples.
Mm-hmm. Although,
but we might not do
it. We're speaking out the nation of them completely.
We're not necessarily. Let's see what Amanda comes up
with. Yeah, that's one thing that I was curious about. I'm going to find out.
Is it going to be possible, sorry, one last thing for Ken, and number 8 in the local law, where she talked about a program that will train town employees, that Amanda, we're going to come back with some of the specifics in that so that we can maybe use specific language. Mm-hmm. And the specific numbers, looking for the basis for the policy or the whatever it's called in the law, the first section, legislative intent, what is that language, energy clause, specific energy clause. For all combined fuels or whatever, which the last year you have the numbers.
I know, diesel and gas.
Yeah.
Diesel
and gas. Diesel and gas.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. So one thing I just for my own clarity. So are we still moving ahead with a local law and a policy?
And if so, how much from your document? We've already taken, I think, a lot from your document, incorporating it, or at least hypothetically incorporating it into the local law.
Yeah.
Are you still intending on, are you moving ahead with one or one? Clearly still some issues that have to resolve.
Local law was my biggest, was one of my biggest deal breakers. I prefer local laws to policies because policies are much easier to ignore than local laws.
Okay.
Right.
I want something to say about that too.
And just, do you want to speak first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a problem with creating a local law. And I said this all along, I said this in our last meeting. And the reason for that is because it's a good policy, there's no reason to make a local law. I think if you're talking about being putting teeth into it, and that's why you're creating a local law, and I think you can do that with a policy just as well.
You can't. Kathy was very clear about that last month.
Well, what he said was a local law has the teeth. He didn't say you couldn't put teeth in a policy. So
how do you enforce teeth in a policy, Pete?
Local violates the policy, there's consequences. I mean, it's that simple. You can just, how do you do it when it's a local law?
It's okay.
Same thing.
I said to Ken from the outset, I didn't say this the last meeting, but I feel pretty strongly that it's more appropriate that it be a policy, that it's, it's internal, it's applying to our own vehicle, so therefore I don't think a local law is the right way to go. We have previous examples in this current legislature of even something I voted for that I don't think was appropriate that it was a local law, but I voted for it. All that said, it's not a sticking point for me in that I would not fall on my own sword over local law versus policy if it contains the right stuff. So that's something I'm willing to give on as a compromise, as long as we can get this alternative fuel stuff sorted, then if you want to make it a law, even though I don't think it's appropriate, I'd say all right. As long as we could get to someplace that we could have content and we could agree on.
Hold on, I got a great one. I would, I used to joke around with Hector about trading legislators from different sides of the aisle and whatnot. We, promote like baseball trade. I'll make a trade right now. I would be willing to take out alternative fuels from the policy if it contains both the review committee and it be a local law. Because those are two of my biggest two sticking points. The other one was your biggest sticking point. I'd be willing to swap them out, two for one and call it a day.
Just on the question of the local law, I think that's an interesting offer. to me, a law applies to everyone in the county, and a policy applies when the legislature is trying to guide the actions of the executive branch. So, to me, it feels like this is actually a policy, but if that's not a sticking point, I think we've made a lot of progress tonight. And if we could look at one document, we could actually come up with a fleet policy and, a way of...
I think Chris has got a lot of notes with which to help create a... It's going to take like 6 years, but...
I think this has been great. But I think we're not there yet, but we're having real conversations about the real issues.
Yeah, this is the kind of committee meeting that I enjoy a lot.
I'm going to check tomorrow.
I'll call it right here. I'll find out.
I'll call it.
I'm talking about Department of Transportation.
Anyone who hasn't
yet,
any policy.
Well, I know that Herb.
I mean, I'm assuming they would have.
Herb Litz had mentioned that all the he worked for DOT and all the DOT vehicles shut off in 5 minutes or something like that. They don't allow idling beyond a certain. I think the 5 minutes might be an internal state policy and not a law.
I remember something passing, and ever since when I see somebody idling a long time, I want to go over and say, you know, there's a difference.
Right?
There's a different balance of power in the state legislature than there is in the county legislature.
Mr. Chair?
All in favor?
Aye.
Good night, everybody.